So I just kind of want to talk about it each
week. Man, we'll stroke your ego.
Have you got... No, it's nothing to do with that. It's not because I'm shit at the moment.
I'll stroke something else then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What if you were to join a certain club? Oh! You're going to join the Vince McMahon Kiss My Ass Club. Come on. It's not like you have to kiss some big old greasy, fat, hairy Oklahoma ass.
That would be yours, Dave. Come on.
I've got a nice ass. He needs to kiss my ass. I got to tell you, that's a mighty fine looking ass, isn't it? It can do tricks. Watch this.
So in case listeners don't know, Richie has started training to be a wrestler. Fair play to him.
What a terrible, terrible idea.
So Richie, just tell us about maybe your first experience with wrestling.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, you know, we're all obviously lifelong wrestling fans. I've always been interested since probably the first time I mentioned it before, Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, Iron Man match. That did it for me. As soon as I seen that, I was like, I want to be a wrestler. But we always say that. You never actually get the opportunity to do it, especially at our age.
When we were kids, like, it never even occurred that you could go and learn or train somewhere. Yeah. When I was in school, like, somebody saying, like, oh, he should be a wrestler. Like, yeah. Yo, and I was like, never occurred to me that you could train anywhere to do that.
And I was in the same boat, because, like, it was all very protected, because you didn't have social media, you didn't have Twitter, you didn't have any of that stuff, so you didn't know that there was a wrestling schools.
I've hit 24 before I realized I could become a filmmaker, and that's not protected. So wrestling, yeah. That's just the planet.
I only found out, like, you could go to drama school at 25. I was so sheltered.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So sheltered. It was just like, you know, you're working a job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody tells you that you can do these things.
Yeah, we're that weird generation where we're not old, but we're not young. So we kind of came up in that point where, like, information was just coming out.
Yeah.
This kind of story started when I was 21. So there was no Facebook or any of that then. I had to find an email online. Eventually emailed this guy, found out where the school was. Bear in mind, at the time, I was probably 9 stone heavier than I am now. Quite unfit. Not prepared at all for this. I went into the school, and it was a very old school approach to kind of wrestling skills at the time. It was a very kind of weed out the weak. And they kind of did that with me. I think I'd be able for it now.
It's like that episode of Louis Theroux, and they make him puke.
It was kind of like that in a power plant. Like, I went in, I was late. It said the class was at 12, it actually started at 11, so they'd already started. They had a guest trainer in who I'm obviously not going to name on. I'm going to bury anyone before I even get into this industry.
It was Ultimate Warrior.
And basically, he made me do drills in front of the whole class. And drill after drills was jumping jacks, burpees, squats, you name it.
It was like setting up the ring with a drill.
And it was just various exercises until I blew up and started getting sick.
Nice.
Went to the bathroom, got sick. He followed me in with all the wrestlers while he shouted slogans at me like, you want to be a wrestler? And basically just tried to, it's to toughen out, get rid of the weak guys. And then they put me in the ring, they made me take about 50 bumps.
And then
sent me home.
On your first day?
Yeah, and I paid 100 quid for that class as well. Wow. Paid 50 quid sign up fee and 50 quid to for the first class.
So why didn't you stick with it?
Why would I?
Why would you? That's a joke.
I left.
Look at my sarcasm.
With my tail between my legs, you know. Sick, you know, neck in bits. I had injuries for weeks after it. And I learned nothing.
Of course.
And it was the whole idea is like, we'll teach you when you put the commitment in. And it was kind of like that Louis Theroux thing. And wrestling was like that for years. And that put me off. Like, until now. So now it's like 9 years later. And
I just see you at home drinking gin with like slow motion flashback to the point you're laughing. Yeah.
And it was terrible. And they even had this whole thing where like, you weren't allowed to wear like WWE merchandise. So on that same day, some guy had a Mr. Kennedy shirt on, and the trainer actually ripped it off him and threw it in this corner with all of these other WWE merch that they had confiscated off people.
Property got destroyed.
Exactly. You wear it, if you wore it, they'd take it off you. And rip it up.
And Coyote Ugly.
So like they had this corner of just all these like WWE shirts and stuff like that, and that kind of threw me off, and I always kind of saw the wrestling industry as that from this because of that really bad experience.
I read similar stories in Mick Foley's biography as well. Like, so you read that as well.
Yeah.
And you have this experience that's similar to the experiences that you've read about.
Yes.
You know, it kind of reinforced kind of your worst fears, I think.
Absolutely. Like, and especially when you're like, you're a heavy, fat guy at the time and you haven't got the fitness. I couldn't keep up with it anyway. Like, and I had no drive and determination. I just said, I'm a wrestling fan, let's go try it.
Yeah.
And it failed miserably. Like, you know, I think if the school maybe was a bit better, or if I was a bit more determined, or if I was fitter, maybe over the last...
I don't know. I think their attitude stinks, because it nearly sounds like it sounds a bit childish, like they're aping or they're trying to copy like their heroes who bully and you know, do that behavior in the States. And it's like, oh, well, if we want to be a real wrestling school, we've got to beat up and bully our students and we got to act like ass. It's like, that's fucking stupid. Yeah. Like,
you're playing the part of, like, you know, the drill sergeant out of Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah. A big fish in a small pond playing the big man. You know what I mean?
Sounds like an asshole. And it is.
I completely agree. It's so lame. If you just watch somebody do this from afar and you're like, I'm going to do that, like, that's who you are.
Yeah.
They came up to that organically. You just went, I want to be like you.
Yeah. Like, imagine going and like, oh, I'm going to take art classes. And you walk into the art studio and you have like the wrong paints. It's like, oh, it should be oils, you fucking idiot. Yeah. They make you do laps and like fucking shit on your canvas and like puke, and then they throw you out and like, oh, thanks for having me. all the respect for painting. Like, it's so fucking dumb.
Snapping your paintbrushes. Yeah,
yeah.
Fairness, you went to an art class, they would use that puke and put it on a wall.
Yeah, probably would. Modern art, yeah. So it's the same thing. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
And that was it. That was my first experience. And since then, I've forgotten about it until recently. Because, like, you know, Irish wrestling and independent wrestling in general has started to grow with, like, over-the-top wrestling, OTT. They recently sold out the National Stadium. We all went to that. Great show. And that's kind of led to a lot more opportunities within that with, like, smaller wrestling schools, promotions, and so on and so forth. There's MSW Main Stage Wrestling. The owner of OTT, Joey Cabray, he runs the school as well as running OTT. He's at every training session. That's his school. The school that I eventually end up choosing is Fight Factory Pro Wrestling. Originally started as NWA Ireland, created by Paul Tracy and Fergal Devitt, Finn Balor. It's now being run by a guy called Phil Boyd, who's been with Fergal since the start. He's a professional wrestler, really good, great trainer, and basically discovered a true friend. His son, Dominic, he's still a wrestler there. I got in touch with him, and he just basically told me where and when to go.
I get the sense, though, that the two schools probably get on pretty well, because Fergal came back there from the E, and he went to an OTT show, and he kind of put them over. And
They do now, actually, and it's funny because Fight Factory are actually looking for a new location at the moment. They might be moving into Dublin, away from Bray, and at the moment they're just in a temporary premises out in Wolftown and Bray. They have no ring, it's just crash mats and a couple of mats and stuff like that. So the MSW, this is Fight Factory.
This is where you go.
Yes.
You don't have a ring?
Not at the moment, no.
What do you do? Just like everyone just holds hands and run at them and pretend to bounce off?
There's plenty to do without a ring. It's easy, it's better as
really?
Well. Yeah, yeah.
I thought I saw photos of people standing in a ring.
There's two schools though.
Okay.
And, well, this is only temporary, it's only been the last month.
I've seen photos of you and the fiddler in the ring.
Yeah, that was like 2 months ago.
And the same company now doesn't have a ring?
Well, no, they've moved premises.
Okay.
So they're in a temporary place now. They're in just like a community centre.
Okay.
And then when they find the new premises, they're going to build a ring. There's no way building a ring.
You're building the ring, my friend. Yes. I know that much.
I can't wait.
And how do you find, listeners don't know, Richie is a very fit man. So in terms of your fitness.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, fitter than me. In terms of the fitness and what this takes, like how did you find like your first day? Like your first day there compared to your first day, whatever it was, 8 years ago?
I could keep up in the first day this time.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go through the first day?
Tell us your first day.
But I'm sure that there's probably somebody there that couldn't keep up.
Yes, there is, and you kind of get a lot of first dayers, a lot of beginners. You get a lot of guys that come in, they turn up for 2 weeks, they disappear. Yeah. It's kind of a lot of hardcore wrestling fans that, you know, are just, it's their passion, they want to try it out, but they're not at the fitness level to do it. But
it's a reason why, like, WWE don't make fitness videos. I know, like, Triple H and try to do a couple, but it's like, the audience don't want to get fit. They don't want to see you fit do something.
Yeah. And what I found is, like, no matter who you are, how old you are, I was training with a guy the other day that must have been in his 50s. And some guys that are just not really in great shape, but probably will be, they're supportive to everyone. You can just contact them on Facebook. Just go on to Fight Factory Pro Wrestling on Facebook, send them a message, they'll welcome you in straight away. And the first class is free.
Yeah.
And then every couple of months they would advertise a beginner's only class for first timers, put it up on Facebook and have people turn up. If you're afraid, then to turn up and join
in the
class.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they advertise it like,
if you're afraid, come to Bray.
And they have, like, you know, when Fight Factory is running and they have the ring up and stuff like that, they usually run 3 classes a week. One will be in advance, one will be like an intermediate, and one will be completely for beginners. So you can turn up and know you're turning up with a bunch of beginners.
Yeah, that's great.
And it's easy. So the first day, we got in touch with the guys, found out there was a training session on Saturday. It's like 2 months ago now. and myself and Steve O'Grady, the fiddler, were to head up and
fiddler by name.
How many times has the fiddler got a shout out on the show?
Get the fiddle out.
So the class was supposed to be at 1, and I turned up with the fiddlers at 12:30. The fiddler. I actually can't help it now. I just say it. And he had slept it out. Wasn't answering his phone. Didn't get out of bed till 1:00. We ended up being half an hour late for
that's
our very
so
first
late
day.
Night fiddle.
He was fiddling all night.
Like you're repeating yourself. You're late for your first day again.
I know.
Good
I know.
Man,
I
yeah.
tell you what. So
I think we're getting a gimmick coming in.
Turns up after the show.
After the match. Get counted out.
Your character only slides in at the 9 count every single time.
With an excuse. Grabs a mic. Soaking wet. You're like, it was cold outside. I got out of the shower.
It was the fiddler's fault.
That's why you never lose your title. You're never there to defend it.
With this particular class, was actually, they had a guest host in, and it was Jordan Devlin, who has obviously been in the UK Championship, signed by WWE now on a year contract, and doing quite well. So Steve and I walk into the gym, and they've already started the drills. So you can picture, like, Jordan sitting in the ring, everyone else is around in a circle doing these moves. We walk in, no one says a word to us. They're all training away. We stand in the corner for maybe 2 minutes. I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do? I don't know what to say. So I creep around, I go up to Jordan. I'm like, sorry, man, it's our first day. It's like, what do we do? It's like, just get involved. If you get blown up, just step out. Don't kill yourselves. And we were like,
brilliant.
All right, fair enough. So he had this exercise where he had a deck of 52 cards. Each suit in the deck represented a different exercise. So it was push-ups, lying push-ups, jumping squats, and
you're
squats.
You're not going to list all of them, are you?
No, that's it. No, well, it was just for each suit. So four different exercises.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought you were going to list it like 50.
No, 52. No, no.
Arm bar. Like, oh my God.
No, like the Jericho's list, yeah.
List of moves.
Jordan Devlin's list of exercises.
I think of 10 exercises. I think of 52.
I'd be just there listening to exercises. Lunges. Calf raises.
That's how we're going to get up to our hour limit. Go for it.
And yeah, but it was just the four exercises. And then if you picked, say, the seven of diamonds and diamonds of squats, it was 7 squats.
Oh,
eight
okay.
of spades was 8
you were hoping
push-ups.
For two of everything, weren't you?
Exactly, and then any of the higher numbers like queens and stuff like that, it was double. So like
cool.
A queen would be 22
in the pack.
It was a jack, not a joker though.
Okay,
well, what was the jack? 11? No,
Jack, I think it was Jack was 11, queen
did
was
you swagger
22.
Bombs all
the
time.
I think the highest number was like 25. But he had manipulated the deck, so the last four were all like 25s.
Oh, okay.
And it was like 25 squats. And you know what it's like? It'd be, you do, say, 7 squats, then your next card's like 9 squats, then the next one's like 10, and they're fast squats. Like,
yeah,
and you have
yeah.
to do it in sequence with everyone else. And that was the first exercise, and bits after that,
yeah.
absolute bits. And every day like that, we do drills. Like most recent training session, we did 600 squats in a row.
Yeah. That was the one after the weekend.
600?
600 squats.
What?
And it was
I was
just
sitting here cocky going, I could do 25. I'm like, and you know what? I have.
Yeah, it was 600. It was squats until basically if you fall out of rank, because like, some people go slower
squat
than others.
Until you flop.
So kind of like. Right. you have one person's calling it. They squat to 10 and you have to keep up with them. And then like the next person goes. And it's just like that. If you go too fast or too slow, you're out. And if you... You obviously want to last. It's kind of like a competition. Everything's competition based. And like, yeah, we went to 600. I think I got thrown out maybe 20 or 30 out from it.
So you did 570 squats?
Yeah, yeah. Jeez. Something like that.
Until somebody is the last one squatting?
Yeah, or until they stop. Until they decide. Like,
I love how I was like, there's no championship yet.
you just squat your way to the top.
Even if, right, 21-year-old, 22 stone Richie went into that class.
Yeah.
And I lasted 3 exercises, went and got sick. They wouldn't have degraded me. They wouldn't have kicked me out. They would have just said, okay, try again. Come back next time. I've seen it.
It's good for business to not belittle the customer.
And that's what I thought. You're coming in pain.
It's good for self-esteem. Like, I looked at your training this week for like 10 minutes. Mm. And in those 10 minutes, I could see that like the trainer's super polite, super nice, super respectful. Super caring. They were watching everyone for safety. They were really conscientious and really approachable and fun. And like, I think one guy had a little bit of an injury, like, no, step it out. Don't want you to get more injury. Like, just on the ball. Mm-hmm. Totally different to what you're describing from earlier on.
Yeah, and like, they welcome it. They understand that, like, it's growth in the business. Like, yeah. Whether it's a guy that turns up once or he ends up being the next Finn Balor, like, you know, like, because like there's a lot of young kids in the skill, 16, 17 year old guys that are good wrestlers. They're good wrestlers now. What are they going to be like in 10 years?
Is it because it's wide open now? Maybe those other guys were trying to keep the concealed business aspect of it. So if somebody's not good enough, they beat the hell out of them. So the person leaves and goes, that's the real deal. They're tough. Mm. They're legit. But now, like, everyone knows it's sports entertainment. Yeah. So now it's like, well, it's a more open atmosphere. You don't have to beat people up because everyone respects the wrestler.
Or is it that we were all probably softer growing up, you know, and those softer people, more, you know, emotional people have grown up and they're kind of more in tune with their, you know what I mean? It's not as macho as it was.
It's a combination of both, I think.
You know?
Like,
if you look at the wrestlers on NXT, I don't know who was talking about it. It was Alberto Del Rio, and he says, I had nothing in common with the guys backstage because they were like playing computer games and talking about TV shows they watch. Yeah. Like, they're more grounded, normal. They're not rock stars.
I hear Jericho actually talks about how he just drinks a lot and he goes partying and like he can't find those. He has a couple of party friends, but like he needs them. Like everybody else goes, like, I think AJ Styles had like lost his bag and it was like Xbox in it and shit like that. Yeah, yeah. It was like all this video game DVD paraphernalia lifestyle, like going to the hotel room and chilling out.
Yeah.
Instead of Instagram, it's just him with like bottles of whiskey all the time. Yeah. You know, this is a really athletic guy as well. Yeah. Like, you know, 48 or something.
I was listening to his podcast and he was saying, like, he was the one person who jumped from the face bus to the heel bus because he wanted to go drinking with the people on the heel bus because the face bus was so boring. No one doing anything.
I think he drinks straight vodka. He doesn't drink beer. That's how he does it.
Yeah, a lot of carbs and beer.
You think there's any wrestler's courts in Ireland?
No, I wish there was.
That'd be pretty good.
I'd love that.
It's bygone era. So you're going to stick at it anyway?
Stick at it,
yeah. You do it twice a week now? Or once? How many times a week are you doing it?
It's, at the moment, it's once a week until we find a new hall. And then after that, it'll be...
You started in February, wasn't it?
Started in February. And just have some short-term goals, really.
Have you done any moves yet?
Oh, I've done a lot of moves.
I've turned into a Hurricane Rana.
Oh, we've ended at squats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, I don't want to reveal it all in one episode.
No. I did a people's elbow.
Yeah.
What was the one move then that you were like, I can totally do this, and then you left going, what the hell?
I could say the Hurricane Rana was the first move that I kind of went, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And they were like...
You tried that?
They were like, yes, you can.
Wow.
They were like, you can do a Hurricane Rana. And I was like, no, I can't. I'm too big. I was like, yes, you can. Mm. And I did a Hurricane Rana.
Yeah.
And then this week you came and watched. I watched the first one. And the second one, I got a round of applause. So I was
and I was looking that. The wrong way when he did it.
Yeah.
I was looking at something else and I heard a round of applause. So I was like, oh, fuck, it was Richie's
one. You're looking away and he just says, everyone clap.
And then he gets up and he's like, oh, that was...
Yeah. Shit, you're right. Yeah, he was like standing on the side of the room. Yeah.
The Hurricane Rana was pretty good because, like, I think I'm quite a strong guy. I'm tall. In the school, anyway, I'm bigger than most of the trainees, so I can just pick them up and choke them and stuff like that. So I can do most power moves, but it's anything kind of athletic. Mm. Like, we were trying a spot where you basically just... You run from one corner to the other, you put your hands on the top ropes, and you leap, and then your 2 feet land on the top rope. So your feet and hands are on the top rope. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to do that. There's no way I can do it. Ran up, just did it first time.
Oh, cool.
Wow. I was like, wow, I'm pretty athletic.
Maybe it's because they give you confidence and support.
Yeah, possibly, but I think it's just like...
But that absolutely helps. If they're belittling you, then you're going to tell yourself you can't do it. Like, That's true.
Yeah, it's a really good point.
And it's weird because you kind of finish on this. Like, I haven't even had a match yet, but when we get involved in doing like any kind of sequences, you might do a 2 or 3 minute sequence with a person. If you get in there and you do that right and do it well, you get that round of applause. When you step out of the ring, the adrenaline, that feeling you have, like, and actually one of the girl trainees came up to me and said, how do you feel right now? I was like, I feel unbelievable. It's just like euphoric. And she was like, try have a full match in a stadium of 20,000 people. How do you think they feel after that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I want to feel more like I feel right now, just from getting in and doing a 2 minute easy sequence in front of just my trainees.
I'll go in and headlock someone for a couple of minutes and be like, and even they're like, that was
shit luck. Just... So I suppose we'll wrap it up on that note. We'll be checking in with Richie on his further escapades in the wrestling world. So thanks very much for listening. I've been Paul.
I'm Christopher Brennan.
I've been Richie.
Still Dave.
Nice. Thanks.
What if you were to join a certain club? Oh! You're going to join the Vince McMahon Kiss My Ass Club. Come on, it's not like you have to kiss some big old greasy, fat, hairy Oklahoma ass.
That would be yours, JR. Come on.
I've got a nice ass. He needs to kiss my ass. I gotta tell you, that's a mighty fine looking ass, isn't it? It can do tricks. Watch this.